This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Nikki, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to Monday morning in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm here with Andrew Collin. Noah
hey, Nick.
Is in Arizona. Hey, Andrew. How's it going?
It's good.
Is that a Tom Petty t-shirt?
Yeah, TP.
Where'd you get that?
I've had it. I got it at the concert. Maybe one
well,
of
why,
his
why
his
you
last...
never wear?
I don't like it without an overshirt.
What's going on with your hair?
What do you mean?
There's a little like... It looks like just like a little, like you got some gel in it or something. Just
I put
on the top.
A little product.
Is it new product?
Newish, yeah. It's a cream.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a
cream? Body. Yeah. Have I ever done a cream? Noah, did you hear this guy? Ask me if I've ever put a cream in my hair.
I don't know what girls put in their hair.
Yeah. Do you want to know?
Yeah.
What my hair routine is?
Bring it on, sister.
Noah, you got to share yours too. Men
and then I'll
know.
Share mine. I'll share mine out.
Well, I can tell you what yours is.
What?
You get out of the shower, you dry your hair, and then you put some product in it, and you just go, you put a little pomade in your hand or whatever it is, and
cream.
You just scrunch it in, and then you wait.
But from back to front, like how I wipe.
Oh, my God.
I do everything back to front, from
back
hair
to front?
Huh?
Back to front? It's probably a good idea because the back, you get rid of most of the excess, you know? And that way you don't have too much product greasing it up if you put it on the front. It's almost like when you use conditioner, you're supposed to start on the ends, then work up because your roots are more, they have more oil anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that the hard way, like, you know, way too late in the game. But
is that a Tom Petty song?
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
You learn how to do things your own way, and you gotta take something. And it's
I mean, you have a very petty look going, and Tom Petty.
Yeah, you do look like Petty right now. And I'm angry about petty things this morning too.
Yeah. What? So what's this hair thing?
Well, my hair thing. I'm so greased up right now. My hair is still going from Saturday night, I think. Yeah. So it was just 2 days old, which is nothing. But I put too much product in it that night. Okay. So I usually I wash my hair every 3 days, every day if I have to do, like if I'm on TV or something or have a live performance. I get in the shower. I use shampoo. I try to use...
What's your shampoo?
Usually I do whatever the fuck they have there. Because shampoo to me is less...
At home, though.
I could use
at
like
home.
Soap.
At home. Let's I use do home.
Oh my God. I hate to say it, but her products are amazing. I was making a list on Target.com one day for some, you know, they deliver to you. And I was like, oh, I'll try this Honest brand. You know, Jessica Alba's brand. Huh. The Honest Company, I think it's called. And their shampoo works as a body wash and a shampoo. So I was like, I love that, which I've already always used shampoo as body wash. It does. It's negligible differences between the two. If you're going to like a hotel, you just grab the thing that's clear. It's a shampoo or a body wash. It's the same shit. And I threw that. So I use that. It's like the vanilla orange kind, I think. And then okay. I use that for body wash too.
Conditioner?
But I just use a little, like, I don't use a lot. I don't like it to be, like, super sudsy on my head like I'm a woman in a 1950s hair commercial. I just want to get, like, the oils out. And I think that shampoo strips a lot, so I try not to go too crazy. But sometimes, if I don't do it enough, it will start to build up. Noah, what do you feel about shampoo? What's your shampoo regimen?
Well, I just had a reaction because you said that your shampoo is vanilla and orange, and those are two of my least favorite artificial scents.
Well, it's not artificial. This shit is natural. Well, I think it's vanilla orange. Just I could be wrong.
In product.
Yes, I get that. Like, you don't want them outside of the food that you consume.
Yeah.
You've never tried to eat my hair. If a piece of my hair got in your food, you'd probably leave it.
I'd probably not.
Yeah, I love vanilla orange. I mean, a creamsicle, I'd eat the shit out of your head.
Yeah. I'm going to give
you got
you
old
a
creamsicle head over there.
And then I love creamsicles. But I got to say, the shampoo and the body wash was the thing that I used from her first. And then I was always using my own conditioners that are, I use like expensive conditioners because conditioning is like what I need the most. Some my white girl over processed blonde hair. Mm. It's dry and conditioner has always been, since high school, I've used, I would say, and this is not an exaggeration, 40 times the amount of conditioner that I do shampoo per session. I mean, conditioner, I used to pile it up like a
other way around,
the size
right?
of a two hacky sacks in my hand, like just a giant mound of it. And then for shampoo, I would just use a little dollop.
You know what you just reminded me of?
Huh.
I remember when I was in high school, Herbal Essence had... Like, it was the most popular shampoo because they had those controversial commercials of the women having orgasms.
I know. That was my first time seeing what an orgasm was. I didn't even know what they were mimicking in those ads. You know?
Yeah.
You're too young. But I
it'd be so funny if that's what would actually happen every morning.
Well, I mean, some people jerk off every morning, so that could be.
You think anyone's ever come from a head massage? Maybe.
Masturbated more times in a week than shampooed my hair. It's some weeks of my life.
Have you ever rubbed your? Have you ever conditioned your head so much that it's turned you on yourself?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
well, I'm just saying that you were saying it'd be weird if every time you did that you would come. But I would say the only weirdness about that would be like, oh, it's so frequent you would have to come all the time. But really, I'm probably masturbating more than I am washing my hair, so it wouldn't be as frequent. Do you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So then I use. But I use this, but I got the conditioner from this Honest Company. And I got to recommend it to people out there. If you're a girl that likes really good conditioner that helps you just right away your finger slip through your hair, like that's how I know a good conditioner is. It makes it completely detangled right away. And my hair is so tangled. It takes so much conditioner to get through it. And that's always the mark of a great conditioner for me. And so this, and that kind I use is the lavender kind. So but now I use way less conditioner, probably double the amount of shampoo when it used to literally be 40 times the amount. So I shampoo my hair immediately. I leave it on for maybe not even like I just do it and then immediately wash it out. Like I don't leave it. I probably should leave it. People are going to write to me and be like, this is not the right way to do it. This works for me. Then I do conditioner a ton and then I start on the ends and then I do maybe a little bit more and I go all the way up to the top and I just completely soak it. And then I kind of twist it like this into a knot so that it can like, cause I have long hair and if I twist it up enough and it's wet, I can all make it like, it just stays on top of my head like that. And so I do it. So it's almost like a mask. So it's like soaking. And then I maybe take some more conditioner and then over I like pat it over it so that every single strand has some conditioner on it. And then that's when I do, okay, I go, okay, so I want this conditioner to the last the longest. I don't take long showers, as we all know. Yeah. So then I go, now I'll shave my legs, which again will take literally a minute and a half. I don't know what other women are doing. I only cut myself once in a while, but I shave really fast. So a minute
no
and
cream?
A half. Yeah, no, I use conditioner or shampoo.
Okay.
Same stuff. Mm-hmm. No. Special stuff, but I use Harry's razors. I really recommend those.
I have those,
like the actually. Expensive kind that are like, they're not even expensive, they're $10, which I know is not cheap, but it's $10 and they come with refillable things. They're the ones at Target. They just work the best, girls. Like if you're shaving your vagina, stop using these like little like two blade ones. Like use a big fucking nice men's razor for your vagina. And I never get razor burn anymore. You can also use tend skin afterwards if you do get razor burn after you shave your vagina. There's stuff you can buy on Amazon, and I think probably get it at Walgreens, and it's in a blue bottle. It's called tend skin, and if you put it on a, like a little cotton pad or toilet paper and you like dab it around, it kills the bacteria and it makes it so you do not get those. But you have to do it preemptively, don't wait till after you get the infections. Do it before, right after you shave. So then I rinse out my hair, and if my fingers run through it, then I know it's been a successful conditioning. And then I get out, and I
now every
towel
3 days.
My hair.
Every 3 days you do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Then normally I'll put up my hair in like a scrunchie, or I'll put my hair up in a towel, and I'll just wash my body so that my hair doesn't get wet. If it's, you know, every day I shower, basically maybe just twice a day. But if I don't want to wet my hair, I do that. And then I get out of the shower if my hair is wet, and then I towel dry. I put it up in a towel like a classic lady from the 50s, and then I take it out after it absorbs most of it, and then I brush through it with a detangling brush. And if I have any snags, I like don't try to just brush through them. I don't understand women who do that. Please stop doing that. If you feel a snag, don't just try to push through it. It's gonna rip your hair out. I know you go, no, it doesn't. It does. So then you find the knot, and then you work it through with either more conditioner, and then you wash it out, but you try to get it, that little snag out, so that you don't just rip that hair out. And then I brush through it, and then I either let it air dry and then curl it later and try to like gussy it up. But usually the best solution is to then, and then I put in a cream.
Yeah, what's the product?
It is OUAI, I think the name is.
Oh.
And it's like conditioning cream. It's a white bottle. It's like OUAI.
OUAI.
That is so, what's a ham drip that comes before the
turkey actual
tears? That's a turkey tear, and you'll see why soon. So I use that, and I put a dollop in my hand, about a dime size amount, and then I rub it all over my hands, and then I start at the ends, and then I go to the top, eventually the crown. And then I blow dry my hair with a just regular paddle. Like I don't, sometimes I'll do a round brush, but right now I'm using a paddle, and I use this really nice hair dryer I got that is supposed to give a lot of shine to your hair. Forget the name of it, but just look up, you know, hair dryers that give you shine. They really actually do if you spend the extra money on them. It's like, it's a $200 hair dryer. So, it packs a punch. And then once my hair has been blow dried, I can do anything with it later on. Sometimes it's a little bit like too moisturized after a shower, and I need it to dry out a little bit before I curl it, mm-hmm. because to keep a curl, your hair needs to be a little bit drier and not have as much thickness to it. This is boring to anyone who doesn't do hair care, but then I can curl my hair.
I think we have a lot of.
And I really do want to do a makeup tutorial, because every time I go on Instagram Live and I go, oh, guys, I got to go because I got to put on my makeup for a thing, people are like, do a makeup tutorial. And I'm like, I would, but I just got to throw it on really fast right now. This isn't the time. So I'm going to do that at some point. Not that I know what I'm doing, but I kind of do. I know it works for me, and I've been watching a lot of makeup tutorial Instagrams that have like these new kind of tips I'm using. One of my favorites, oh my God, I did it this weekend, and I just didn't do it right now because I didn't have time. Noah, it's so good. So I don't know why I took off my sunglasses, because my eyes are like little tiny slivers of almonds like you would find in a good salad. Right now, like my eyes are puffy because I just have been like, I'll get into it in a second, but I've just been like a puffy bitch. Like not fat, not saying that. I'm just saying like histamine and like emotional. I've been like very emotional, but not cryy. It's just like I need to cry. My face constantly looks like it needs to cry. but it's good. It's all good. It's good to feel your feelings, even though you don't let them out ever and you hold them back. So
it's probably where the puff is.
But this is the best tip that I saw. No, I should send you some of these tips because I always send them to Robin, my makeup girl, to be like, what do you think about this? You'll like this one because you're a big eye makeup girl. So you take tweezers, okay, and you take your mascara wand and you get a bunch of goop on it and you take the tweezers and you tweeze goop between them. So you tweeze the mascara goop with the tweezers, okay? So you get a bunch of goop that just looks like almost like a paintbrush of goop. And then this is for your under eyelashes, because when you do your under eyelashes, they collect too much with the wand. They bleed onto your skin and it will just look clumpy or bad. So then you lightly, do not tweeze like you're tweezing out hair, yeah, but you take the hair gently. Okay. And you know how to do, you think you're going to tweeze your hair out, but you will not. There's not even a part of you that could ever pull out your own eyelashes unless you have trichotillomania, which is a different thing altogether. And then you go through individually and you grasp inside the gloopy between the tweezer, you just gently like tug on each of your eyelashes to do like a singular, and it gives it this like awesome, like, you know, like kind twiggy of look? Twiggy. I was going to say Twiggy. Yeah, Twiggy, Goldie that. Hawn, like look underneath your eye, like for your lower lashes that I did this weekend. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even need, like, it was just such a cool look that I love when something makeup wise, I discover like a whole new look to my face. And then I just found out last night, if you're in over 40 and you're doing contour right here where your cheekbone, right below your cheekbone where everyone thinks you're supposed to do contour. Now, contour is the dark line that you do. Like if you're doing contouring, you do like a brown line if you're a white girl, or, you know, lighter skinned, or just any skin color really. If you're contouring, you do a darker shade than your color, much darker, in between your cheekbone and your jaw, I guess, like where that dent is. But if you're over 40, that's wrong. You're pulling your face down. You should do the dark line on your cheekbone, which is totally different than I thought. It's just so interesting because it is all really like painting. Yeah. It's like Bob Ross, and there's all these tricks. It's all an illusion. It's optical illusions you're drawing on your face, but you can highlight different places and truly look like so much different with just a little bit of
Mardi Gras.
It's just, it's so easy to just do these things. And by the way, like the things that we think we're doing to make ourselves look younger, in fact, sometimes can be making us look a lot older. Like eyeshadow for me makes me look so old because it closes off my eye. It makes it look smaller, or like gives, if I use concealer on my eye and make my eye like almost a lighter color than my skin tone, and it gives me a youthful look because kids don't wear makeup. So if you look like you're not, if you wear less makeup, your face will look younger. It will also look more masculine, but then that's why you do the eyelashes. Eyelashes are the thing that sets apart women and men. Final answer.
I fucking forgot I have bottom eyelashes.
Yeah, mine are.
I had no idea. I really haven't thought about, like,
I would love to give your eyes this look because bottom lashes are such, it's a thing that everyone forgets, really. And eyebrows,
honestly,
too.
It's like, it's weird. It's
change, yeah, everything.
I was looking at old eyebrow pictures. I was looking, yeah, at old eyebrow pictures.
Oh my God. Can Noah, can you tell him what you discovered? Please.
So on your Instagram story, you posted a close-up photo that you just recently took on tour of you turning, mm-hmm, around, looking kind of sultry. And then you posted a younger version of yourself.
Looking sultry.
Almost same similar photo, but like just a lot younger. Yeah.
And I said, younger Andrew reminds me of Brenna.
You look like Brenna's brother. You look like a hot girl. Oh, like you have the face of, yeah, like a really, like Brenna has one of the prettiest faces that you'll ever see in person. And trust, like it, she pops on his Instagram, but like in person, she's one of the most striking, beautiful, naturally beautiful people I've ever seen. And you have, she sent me the picture last night and I was like, they do look so similar. And this is no insult to Brenna or to you.
No,
it's actually like the most compliment to both of you because you just have a beautiful face.
Thank you.
And
it fell apart, yeah.
And it supports our thesis that it's not even ours. It's like one that I think is biologically proven, is that we're attracted to people with our same like face structure and like that kind of look like us.
I could see that.
And Chris, I realize, looks, we both have like big smiles.
Big smiles.
Yeah, you both have a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
But Brenna has a lot of teeth. I have very little. But yeah, but I could see that, how back in the day. But I realized my eyebrows were very manicured then, in that photo. And my mom would make me wax my eyebrows.
Maybe you should go back to that. It's a good look.
Yeah, I don't know. The bottoms, it hurts, man.
I know it hurts, but you know what? It every girl knows what you're talking about. And you get, I know this sounds stupid, you get callous to it. Like, it doesn't hurt anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if you're sensitive once. But talking about sensitivity, I just want to say, I am like, you got off Zoloft recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Like about 2 months
ago. Was that a choice, or did it just, you miss some doses and you go, oh, I'll just see what this, what, do you remember what was the impetus?
It was, we were in Cabo, and I think I was just in a really good space head-wise, brain-wise.
Eyebrow-wise? To the point,
eyebrow-wise. All the wises.
Mm-hmm. Except wisdom-wise.
Well, we'll never get there, but that has nothing to do with Zoloft.
Oh, my God.
So I... Oh, library? Oh,
well, the other library thing? Was funny. He said library this weekend, and I go, I just have never known you to not say that word right.
Well, it was in the morning.
It was.
So I ended up, so I just like, I took one, and then I was like down to 3 days. I started Wellbutrin too, so I felt like I was getting whatever endorphin or whatever feeling of like less anxiety from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could slowly get off the Zoloft. I know plenty of, I read a lot about people being able to wean off one for the other.
Yes.
And then I got off the Zoloft. I didn't feel too many. I felt a little zappy. A little
brain
bit zapped, off.
People talk about.
But I wasn't sad at all. Like, I wasn't feeling.
Are withdrawal symptoms. So you go, oh, I'll wait them out. If they persist, then we'll think about. But you were monitoring your withdrawal symptoms.
And then with Wellbutrin, I was like, okay, well, I was getting a little anger. Like I felt like very on edge a little bit from the Wellbutrin, and I was like, okay, let me slowly get off this too while I'm here. It's kind of like a rehab for me
down there.
And I, you know, the only tough part was looking in the mirror that one day at my body, and like
that was a great day for me. I mean, it was the best days of my life.
So anyway, so I was able to just get off it there. It felt like I was in paradise.
Yeah.
So and then I came back and.
It's been good.
It's been really good for
me. I've noticed that you have, there's been an uptick in, and this is just me being aware because I'm usually suffering and I'm trying to look for other people suffering around me to justify my suffering. Let me just be honest with that. But I've noticed that there's been more like doing the biting your fingernails than when you were on Wellbutrin, but it's not as bad as it was before you were on that stuff or before Zoloft. It's just, for me, I look at you biting your fingernails and I go, that's just me like going like, I'm worried. Like, it's okay to bite your fucking fingernails. Before it was a thing where you were sometimes clawing on your hand constantly.
Well, there's a time when I claw my hand, and it's when my anxiety is the highest. And when I bite my nails, I know when I do it. It's when I fly, especially after I drink a lot of coffee, and when I do shows. And
I've noticed it other times too.
I'm saying for me, I know that I get it.
I know you know, but I do things too where I go, oh, I know I'm doing this because I'm stressed. But I think sometimes we do those things and we don't realize we're doing it. But it's not a bad thing. It's not like we should be able to chew on our fingernails instead of taking a drug so that we don't have to do that. If our fingernails aren't bleeding, let's talk about the stuff. Like these are all coping mechanisms in the short term because I'm only bringing this up because I recently got off an antidepressant. I'm going to talk about it right when we get back from this, but I really relate to seeing little things like that come up for me where I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. Are you doing that on purpose?
What?
We'll be right back. Andrew!
Here I come down the road all the time off the street. Don't freaking eat street meat unless you got utensils.
It's just good advice. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Okay, we're back. So as I was saying, I was wondering how you got off it because whenever I get off antidepressants, which I've gotten off
every single antidepressant, been on and off?
35 times. Like I've been on so many things.
One for each breakup.
No, it's never breakups.
No, I know.
But that is interesting that
if they lined up perfectly.
No, it always. Well, what really happened, and I don't want this, please, if you are on stuff right now, please do not get off it. This is not me giving any advice. This doesn't work out for a lot of people, and it might not work out for me, because I want to say the only reason I'm off stuff right now, because I just want to be honest with people, is that there's got to be a solution for people with meds that are dealing with anxiety and depression, because it is so hard to get meds on time and things like that. If you have ADD, if you have anxiety, like staying up with, I'll have two pills left and I'll go, I gotta call the doctor, and then I don't get around to it, and then all of a sudden I'm missing a pill, and then I know the side effects are suicidal thoughts, and I'm like, oh my god, fuck, and then I call, and then I have it transferred to the CVS. I go to the CVS, we're in a strange town, they don't have my information, I'm just like, there's been a long line, we have to get to the next gig, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna skip it and see what happens. I'm gonna be aware of any possible side effects. So I was on this drug Prestique for, because I was like, you know, on, they got me on anxiety meds, and then I was still having like really this urge to smoke pot. This was back in like a couple of years ago, and I was still like, God, you know, like this is taking care of this part of my life, this one drug, but this other part, I'm still like dying to smoke weed all the time. And my doctor was probably like, okay, well, weed, you're reaching for that because of anxiety, and like, so maybe we give you Prestique. So I was on that. And then, yeah, the weed urges went away. I was able to quit. It didn't go away, but I was able to quit on my own. And then, and I never really thought it helped with the weed stuff. I thought that I just found a different solution for myself. The reason I quit weed was because it was making me unfunny. And like, I was doing it every day. So that, I shared my own path with that in multiple episodes. But anyway, so I just kept taking Prestique because I was scared to get off it, because the one of the side effects was like possible suicide. Like, it's, which is so ironic, like you talk about Zoloft is like, it helps depression, but then you can't come. And it's like, well, now I'm depressed because I can't come. It's like, what is this doing to us? So,
and you can only kill yourself once.
I know.
Yeah, it's tough.
And you can only come once.
Yeah, that's true. The same day.
So I was like, and I don't want to kill myself. I don't want anything to like do, but I also know that people, no one wants to kill themselves, you know, like it's not something that, if even if you do want to kill yourself, it's not,
it's not your ideal thing.
There's
probably
something, there's a disease happening in your head. Yeah. Like a disease is trying to kill you, not you, you know, then, and it's out of your control. So I just didn't want to catch whatever disease that would be from a withdrawal side effect. So I was monitoring it and I was making sure, I was like, I'm not having suicidal thoughts. I'm very aware of that when those come up. And so I lapsed in my, like, I was off it for a week and I was like, okay, I looked up like the half-life of the stuff, like things, withdrawal symptoms should be taking place. And I've never experienced withdrawal symptoms. Like I read about when I used to be on 200 milligrams of Zoloft, the ultimate dose. And I went off cold turkey because I was just, oh, I feel good. I don't need it anymore. I didn't feel the brain zaps. I didn't feel the suicidal thoughts. I didn't feel anything.
You didn't wean at all. It was just boom, boom.
No. And I have weaned in the past when I was more responsible, but there are times where I've just cold turkey it and I have just gotten lucky. I have whatever chemistry is in my body for those types of things. I do not experience withdrawal symptoms from those meds, or I haven't yet. But I was like, Prestique is something I haven't been on, so I don't want to Zoloft, I know that I've never experienced withdrawals. Mm-hmm. I've gone off it a million times. But do not do that. It's very dangerous, you guys. I think I'm just like lucky in that way. Like, but my physiology is different. And then, you know, so please don't do that. I'm not saying you will have, I've never heard of someone not having it, but I have not. So with Prestique, I was worried about it and I just was paying attention to it. But what I've discovered is no withdrawal symptoms, but all of a sudden, so many feelings all the time. I feel like I'm constantly PMSing, which doesn't make sense because I just had my period and I was able to like write the feelings off when they first came in as PMS because I was like about to start my period. That makes sense. But the feel, it's so interesting because I just don't know how to feel my, I don't know how to cry. I know how there are some things that get me to do it, like when my friends give me permission or I'm able to like talk about something enough that like starts bringing it up. I was able to cry last night. I was texting with my sister about just some stuff I felt like stupid about. And she like, so sweet. She just like asked one question. I was like, blah, 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 and like spilled. I was like, I really want to talk to you about this thing that's going on in my life. And she was like, yeah, we'll get coffee later this week because it was late. And I was like, I don't have time to get into it. And then all of a sudden I just keep texting and I'm getting into it. And then I start crying and it felt good, but it was just like not enough. Anyway, I'm just feeling so, so much and it's okay. And it's like, it almost feels good. Like I think that, but I am compelled to smoke weed again. And like, I want to, because I want a way out of these feelings. That's like always what everything is. That's what thinking is. That's what our, I was just doing a meditation today where he was like, it was such a good Sam Harris that I put on, which I'm obviously starting to meditate again, because when things start coming up like this and I don't have these drugs pushing down the feelings, I got to find other ways. Yeah. So now I'm journaling. I'm getting back into meditation. Like I'm finding other ways so I don't have to go back on a drug. But I was listening to this meditation and he was just like, you know, it's about focusing on the thought. Okay, notice when a thought comes up. Okay, conjure a thought that's stressing you out, something that's stressing you out. So I was all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, he's letting me think during this meditation. Perfect. So I conjure up the fact that I had an audition that I was supposed to turn in today at 11 a.m. my time. Didn't even read the script. Like, not even, didn't even do it. And then I was like, just, he goes, now notice the feelings that come up when you think about this thing that is bothering you, that's, you fail, whatever.
Wait, you didn't do it at all?
No. Okay. No. But I asked for an extension. But this meditation happened after I, before I got back that I could have an extension. And it really was prompt about like, you need it in by 9 a.m. PST. Like, and I was like, okay, so I didn't get it. So whatever. So I was thinking about it and he was like, notice physiologically, like through your body, where that feeling is. Like what's changed. So I went from a state of, like a state of just paying attention to my breath. And then all of a sudden I think about this audition and I noticed like just this like kind of little bit of ache in my chest and like my leg, a little bit of my leg. And I was just, and I was just focusing on this like cloud of like kind of tingling of like just like anxiety. And I was like, okay, that's where it is, which I don't usually am able to feel that. I used to go to a somatic therapist and she used to be like, no, where is this feeling? And I would be like, my head, I don't know. I'm not connected. But for some reason, I felt it this morning. And it was interesting because he was like, so what the, at the end of the thing, he was like, what this was, he kind of broke down what we just did. What this was you paying attention to when things, when emotions come up, paying attention to what those thoughts do to you physiologically, what they do to your heart, what they do to your stomach, what they do to your body, and note, just notice and let it happen. Because what we do when we have a, normally when we have a feeling come up, we turn off those, we don't feel it. We are doing anything to not feel it. So we think about something, we put on a song, we distract ourselves with our phone, and we keep that feeling from just going through us like a wave, like just letting the wave pass over you. And what you find, and what he said in today's meditation, is that the half-life of these feelings that you are pushing away constantly is so much shorter than you think if you just let it run through you and you let that feeling go. Because all it is, all thoughts are really distractions from feeling things. So if you're able to take something that's causing you a lot of anxiety and just look at it as almost this thing that, like a bunch of, like a, God, I don't know how to, like a wave, like you're in the ocean and your thoughts and your worries are waves. And if you let them pass over you and you suffer the brunt, it's going to feel uncomfortable for like a bit. But if you let, if you just hold on and you pay attention to how that manifests, you can notice that it's just, it's a thing. It's not you. It's not this permanent thing that you are now. Like Nikki, you're a failed person because you didn't get the thing turned in time. You're a bad actress. You're not going to have success. All these things. It's just it's just a moment. And in a year, will I even think about this audition? No. If I get the movie, will it have happened because I asked for an extension or because I didn't? Like, it. Most of the stuff that I think back on that causes me so much pain about myself are just these fleeting moments that I'll never remember. My friend recently just shared a story that someone thought she was pregnant and she's not. And she was so embarrassed and so sad because she's trying to lose weight and someone thought she was pregnant. And I was thinking about that and I was like, oh my God. I told her, and I'm serious about this, if someone thought I was pregnant, I would be so fucking excited. Because for me as a 30, about to be 38 in a week, if someone thought I looked like I could A, be a mom, was someone who was maybe trying for kids, equals I have my life together enough. Like I associate being a mother with things that I didn't back when I was even 2 years ago. Whereas like, you look healthy, you look like you could carry a baby. You look happy. You look like you maybe have someone in your life that's going to help you raise this with you. You look like content. Like I would associate that with so many things that aren't fat. Whereas my friend who is not wanting to look like she is having a baby took it as only as negatives. So that also helped me. There was this great Sam Harris thing that I came upon yesterday. And I just want to share it really quickly. And this one really is a hack for being in a bad mood. For like getting out of a bad mood instantly. And I shared it on our thread today, Noah, that you have probably 60,000 missed messages from all the girls that went to Cabo on that girls trip. Because everyone is suffering on that Cabo strain trip, like in different ways. And it's so great because everyone's suffering. One of the girls is married to a brilliant man who loves her so much and they just had a baby and their lives are so happy and she's a beautiful model and like has everything that we would ever have, a house in the Hamptons, a house in New York, a supportive husband who loves her. And she is finding ways that her life is like unmanageable and miserable. Mm-hmm. And then there's another friend who's like has a waitressing job she fucking hates, has no time for herself, is getting woken up every morning at 7:30 by a construction literally a foot outside her window. And these two, it's nice because you think like, oh, girl whose life seems perfect, shut the fuck up, look at my life. But instead, what you find is that even if you had all the things that you think that if you had what that person had, you would be appreciative of, if you don't change your mindset, you're gonna find things to be pissed about. We're all equal in that way. Like, it's not about getting that TV show. It's not about getting that job. It's not about getting the boyfriend. It's not about having the baby. It's not about losing the weight. Like, unless you fix your perspective, there's always gonna be something to fuck you up. So what this thing that he said, it's different than the meditation I did. I'm really getting back into Sam. I'll just paraphrase it. So he says, when you're driving, let's say you're stuck in traffic and you're late for something. You're like, motherfuck, I'm going to be late this fucking thing. Stop for a second. And it's a practice of gratitude, but it's a different way of looking at gratitude. Think about how right now a thing that could be happening in your life that would completely ruin your life, that is something that could happen, didn't happen. Like, let's say you're stuck in traffic, you're late for this fucking thing, and you're like, God fucking damn it. Think about the fact that you haven't been diagnosed with terminal cancer today, which someone in your position with your same kind of happiness in life has been, mm-hmm. and they're spending the next 2 months of their lives getting their affairs in order to die. You haven't been today. So think about that person that would consider their biggest prayers answered to be in your position, stuck in traffic. Think about the things. Don't think about the starving kids in Africa, unless that is something that could be you, which it could be, but let's go beyond that. Like, something that could actually happen to you in your life right now that day hasn't happened. The worst thing that could happen that could happen that hasn't happened to you, and just be grateful for that. And just think about, wow, if I was that person, how much would I give? If I learned tomorrow I'm dying of cancer and I have a month to live, how much would I give for that day where I was in traffic and just my biggest worry in life was being late for something?
I like that, because I think a lot of times we do hear, well, you could be living in Afghanistan under war. Like, it's always something so far-fetched that you can't put yourself in those shoes. So it's interesting to think about, like, something very terrible, but that's
very
possible.
And we've
all
had that happen before, where you learn something terrible and you go, God, yesterday I didn't even know that happened. I wish I could go back to my naivete of yesterday. Mm-hmm. You are currently, whatever you're living, even if it is horrible, you are living in some version of a world that is better than one that could be happening to you right now. And so live in that moment of, like, tomorrow everything could change. You would long for today when your biggest worry was that your Uber Eats order got stolen or whatever, which doesn't happen with Uber Eats, and they will reimburse you, I want to say. But, like, you know, there have been times where I'm like, this is the worst! And I'm like, God, something could happen.
The only thing, though, Nikki, like, with the first part of what you were saying about learning how to feel your feelings and what happens to you physiologically. No, I don't think it's denying it. I think that some people just really have no idea what it is, what an emotion is, and that they're feeling it in that present moment. So going back, I think it's important not to lose sight of learning what happens to your body physiologically so that you can connect it with your emotion to know, hey,
oh my God,
right now I'm anxious, or right now I'm upset about something, or I feel anger because it's in my chest and my leg instead of in my back, you know?
Yes. Noticing, like, this weekend I was such a dick to Andrew about this thing that we're not going to get into, but I was in a fucking mood, and he said something that set me off and made me insecure about something, and I lashed out at him in the moment. When you know when you've been a bitch before, or a dick, whoever I'm talking to, you know I'm out of line here and I'm going to owe an apology. And you just can't bring yourself in that moment to be in that. Or maybe you don't know. I'm mindful enough that I know in the moment I'm going to owe Andrew an apology for this. And I can't do it now. I am too weak. I don't have the backbone right now. My backbone is covered in anxiety and it's weakened. And I don't have it right now to actually do this. Like, it's almost like when sometimes you do a workout and you're like, I do this workout every day. Why can't I do it today? And it's like, well, I just don't have it in me. Tomorrow I'll do this workout. Like, I know I can do it tomorrow. I cannot do this today. And I wasn't able to apologize for it till the next day, almost like well after it had happened. But because I was in a weakened state, like, and it's not an excuse. I'm just saying, like, if you get mad about something or if you become an ugly version of yourself, I do feel that as long as you're able to account for it at some point and hopefully sooner than later, and always be working towards making that time between offending and apologizing shorter and shorter, closing that gap. If you're trying in your life to do that, you're doing the best you can, and that you're not a bad person. We all have moments where, like, we're late for something, and then our skin is itching because these pants are too tight, and like so many different things are making you uncomfortable. That one little thing, you'll be like, ah! And you can't even in that moment, you can't even realize it. It's about being late. It's about being in traffic. It's about being scared.
Do you think it's important though to try to get ahead of that reaction and to be able to like respond instead? Like if Andrew had said something that you know you don't like, to respond to it as opposed to react and then have to apologize? Because I think the exercise Sam was doing, it would have been so much better for me to say, to recognize what happens. Hey, I'm starting to feel it in my body. Soon it's going to get to my head and then I'm going to blow up.
Yeah, and that takes so much more work. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm trying to get to the point where it doesn't... you're right. I say minimize the gap between it happening and then apologizing. I'm trying to minimize so that I get ahead of before it even happens, where I know, I see it, I see the Richter scale starting to go, and I'm like, oh my God, we have an earthquake coming. Andrew, go hide under a table. She's about to blow.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the arguments, you know, even if someone wants to apologize, I don't want them to feel that like burden or guilt. Like I want, even if I'm the one getting whatever, like I understand being on the other end of it, and that I don't want that person to fucking be like, I don't know whether to, it's like, just talk to me. Like we can get through it. Like,
well, I feel like,
no, I'm not, whatever.
You met me with a little bit of like, don't feel bad. And it's like, and I didn't want to, I hate when you apologize and you go, don't feel bad. And they go, oh, I don't. And you're like, well, that's not what I want. Like, Kirsten, I know Kirsten's listening. You used to do that in high school. And I used to get so angry. I'd be like, I'm really sorry. Sorry I did this. Or like Kirsten would apologize for something. And I go like, it's okay. And she goes, well, I know it's okay. But, and I'd be like, well, that's not.
Yeah, that takes away from it.
But for sure. I wanted to let you know, like, I forgive myself. But I still think that what I did was out of line, and I'm doing my best to not do that again, because I understand that it hurt you and it hurt me to hurt you. But it's not something I'm going to live with and like cut myself later about. And I think that in the moment your instinct was like, no, just don't make it a big thing. And it's like, it wasn't a big thing, but you are owed an apology for that. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing you did, and it was all me. And like, but I get what you're saying of like, you don't want, because sometimes, like I say, when someone inappropriately touches me at a thing and I call them out for it and then they apologize, suddenly it's my fucking burden to make that person feel better about the thing they did to me. And I never want, when I'm apologizing, someone to have to go, no, Nikki, it's okay. I don't need forgiveness. It really is about, I just need understanding from, I just need to know that you understand that I am doing better. I want to do better.
Yeah, I get that. I also think like, I was just thinking about the first, away from the argument or whatever,
but
the whole, the feeling thing and like letting it go through you.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing with that is like, you have to be in a mind space even before, and it's kind of like what Noah was saying, like before you react in a way that you're going to have to apologize later, in order to react to a feeling or an emotion and let it go through you, you have to already be in a mind space that you're stable enough to take that in. Like, well, that's, I almost where meditation feel like
comes in.
Yeah, I feel like there's two steps. The step before that is the hard part.
It's meditating. It's being preventative for it. Mm-hmm. So like knowing that the only way to get to a place where you can stop that and be mindful of your emotions bubbling up is to practice meditation and to get in touch with the mundane thoughts, not just the thoughts that are going to turn into a fight, but like every kind of thought. And when you're able to be, you know, when you're like looking for a new pair of boots and then all of a sudden all you see is boots everywhere, or I'm looking for a car right now and I look at every car now, and usually cars do not even enter into my scope of vision. I would not even know if a car hit me what model it was, but now I'm like obsessed with, oh, that's a Lexus, that's whatever. So literally I can't think of another car. So but I think that's the same thing with meditation. Is like, if you practice just like scrolling through your thoughts the way you're practicing. If you're looking for a new backpack, suddenly you just start seeing backpacks everywhere. Not because the algorithm knows you're looking at backpacks and starts showing you them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when you start looking at something and you're in the market for something and you're paying attention to something a lot, you start noticing it everywhere. You guys know that feeling, right?
Well, yeah. I think it relates to you getting feelings after getting off that drug. It's like, oh, now I see feelings. I feel feelings. Now I feel all the feelings.
So now I am having to go, okay, a lot of feelings are coming up that would not have come up before when I was on this drug. I need to get more vigilant. I need to start researching my thoughts and like looking at them every day. Like I'm looking for a new pair of boots. So it's like that mundane. Now that's what meditation is. It's like the mundane observance of your thoughts. And a lot of thoughts, you're on Zappos and you're looking at boots that you would never even fucking look at. You just scroll through them. You know when you're looking for shoes and you're going through something and you go, ugh, that doesn't even catch your eye. That's what meditation is. It's letting thoughts go by and you observe them. And once you're able to immerse yourself in just random thoughts enough, like you're looking for shoes on Zappos, suddenly thoughts will start appearing to you and you will be able to dodge the ones that don't matter and pay attention to ones that go, oh my God, that's something that, that's a car actually. Oh, what model is that? I want to like check that out later. And you go, what is that car that drives by? And suddenly I'm paying attention to a car that would have driven past me and I would have never thought about it. And it might have been a car that I actually need to have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But now I see that card, I go, oh, I'll take a picture of it and maybe research it later. And I think that's what meditation does, is it makes us be able to find the things that we should focus on before they hit us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough analogy, but I think it works. Let's get to the news.
Probably going
to
be a Lexus, if I had to guess.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Hope you had all the swells this weekend. It's Monday. You know what that means? It is Monday, apparently. Who knows?
Dude,
I think we do.
We met so many besties this
weekend.
So
many besties. Someone gave me golf balls with "Kuh" on it.
Yeah, that was Ariana and her girlfriend. I forgot her girlfriend's name, but her girlfriend was like, I let my girlfriend, you know, thank you. Like, she your girlfriend. Like, my girlfriend is in love with you guys, and I let her be. And she waited to the end of the line on...
They were the best.
I think it was the first show at Foxwoods on Saturday night, but she was awesome. She was wearing a Nikki Glaser podcast t-shirt, the black one, which is my favorite one. I actually like the blue one too. Like, people, these fucking besties. And then there was another bestie on at the Boston show that gave me a bookmark that said, like, fucking read this book, bitch, or something like that. It was this amazing cute kid. I'm going to fuck up your name. It was Colby or Morty or something like that. And you're probably laughing because it's not even close to that. But you had your boyfriend with you. You were so cute. And you gave me a bookmark and you were like, here's this bookmark to hold your place in a third of books that you read,
which was
adorable. He was awesome. Again, it's Morty, Mulby, Colby, or Sunny.
Some kind of cheese.
It was a really cute name, and I'm so sorry I'm fucking it up, and please write me about your name. But we met so many other besties, and if I don't remember your name, it's not because you didn't make an imprint on my heart. Like, there are so many of you that I will, if I see you again on a show, I'll remember, because you just said the nicest things. And
it is interesting. We do remember, like, I remember, like, oh, I was at this show. Oh, you're with those two other people. Like,
yeah, you remember.
We remember the besties' faces. I don't know what it is about
Do.
I just, like...
And
yeah,
I can't describe it. You can just sense before they even walk up, even if they're not wearing merch, that they're a bestie. You can just sense it. Like, there's just something. You guys are the best. And we really appreciate you listening and all the love you give us via letters and just listening. You don't have to do anything. And just the fact that you're listening, it matters a lot. And then we got to talk about at some point, the weird people that came.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was, we had such a.
Twice.
Can we just say it now really quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the news.
Okay. We'll do it. We'll you know what? We'll save it.
Final thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Back to
news?
You, Noah.
All right. Well, if I get through the news, boom, 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 there is a theme
for sure.
To it.
Top.
Okay. So people on TikTok are putting their heads inside a coat hanger and getting freaked out by the head turning effect of the hanger reflex. Have you seen this?
The head turning.
No, I saw Chris on his show today. We have to take off our.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, I'm just
gonna
lower
going...
my.
You could put your headphones
take
underneath
off
your chin.
Headphones.
Yeah, like Nikki's.
Oh,
doing,
okay. So we don't need it to go past our ears at any point.
No, you have to put it on the temples. Make sure that.
Put it around the temples so it's like squeezing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what?
Okay, I don't think it's working on you guys. So
no, what are you supposed
to? Basically, what's supposed to happen, the effect is supposed to turn your head, and it's supposed to turn your head away from the hanger's hook involuntarily.
And this hold on. Let me take off the headphones because I think the headphones are fucking us up. Wait, what the fuck?
Seriously?
Is it like Ouija maybe where it's like, I'm now that you said it, I'm doing. I'm not kidding you. It kind of does it. Hold on. Let me try it on the other side.
Should be lower. I feel like this is a time where like someone like eats mushrooms and I don't get the feeling. I don't got it.
I don't get it either.
Maybe I don't like have a magnetic brain or whatever.
Hold on. No, I'm putting on my, I can't hear you.
So okay, maybe this is exactly like the Ouija board. So this reminded me, did you ever do that like ghost thing where you put your hands in between a friend's hands and they push as you push out? They push in as you push out. And then
so you push in and they push out.
I know the fingers.
Okay. Thing. Yeah. And then they let go and your arms just kind of like open wide.
Yes. Yes. Or you do the thing where you kind of do it on, you can hold your hands to the side like you're doing like a bird flapping its wings and you push out, or in a doorway actually. Have you ever done that?
I haven't done that.
You stand in a doorway and you push your hands up the doorway like you're trying to extend your hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like really hard. And then you drop them and step out of the doorway and your hands will just go up because the muscle memory. Yes, so it's the same thing.
The ghosts.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like that you're going to leave yours on.
Yeah, I'm going to see at the end and see if my arms lift.
I never really believed in like Ouija stuff. I
know.
The power of suggestion is so insane that I would want, you know, we'd be like, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I would always make it go to hooker just for jokes. And I didn't, I wanted the ghost to tell us hooker,
yeah.
Even though I didn't want to be the one controlling it. I was not someone who was like, I'm going to make it say hooker. I was thinking hooker and then it would happen. And by the way, a ghost would not say hooker. It would say prostitute or sex worker. I mean, I feel like ghosts would be, you know.
Hopefully it would do a word I know how to spell.
Hooker is so funny because.
Wouldn't it be funny if like,
yeah,
you know, it's a Ouija because I spell like a like, really.
Money giver.
You're like, Andrew knows that word? It's like, nah, dude, I have a genius, bruh. Like you feel like the only time you could spell is with a fucking ghost.
That always reminds me of like when I know this is a really dark thought, but you always hear about, there's a story I remember hearing, and maybe it's like an urban legend about like during the Holocaust, like Nazis, like there was this one circumstance where a guy had a violin and a Nazi was like, play me a song, and like had a gun and was gonna like murder them if they didn't play this one song, and the guy did not know how to play violin, and then suddenly he was able to do this like amazing violin solo and was able to like spare his life because like moms lifting cars kind of things where you can do this thing that you can't do because you are scared of death or like because you're, so sometimes when I play guitar, I'm just like, someone had a gun to my what can I do? And I just like, and
then you start,
and then
speaking,
I pull the trigger.
And then you start speaking Hebrew. Yeah, no, it's interesting though to like learn a skill. Like lifting a car, I get lifting a car because there's probably strength.
Is there anything in your life though that you've never been able to do? There used to be a Human Giant sketch, I want to say, by the way, it was Aziz Ansari, Rob Hubel, and Paul Scheer's show on MTV. And they did, it was called, it was a moving company that was just all moms. That they always say that a mom can summon the strength of like 1,000 gorillas if their child is pinned so underneath the car. So they would just put the woman's child underneath like credenzas. And then suddenly this mom would just lift it with all her might. And it was a moving company where they would just position the child in harm's way. It was so funny.
That's really funny.
I mean, a Human Giant, go back and watch those on
YouTube.
Wait,
so what's the question though? Can I do something?
Either of you ever been able to do something where you go, how
okay,
the fuck
I'll
did
tell
I
you
do
this.
That?
I swear to God.
Yeah.
My dad accidentally backed over my brother's kid on its leg with a golf cart, like a heavy golf cart. And we didn't know what, everyone was kind of fight or flight. Like, we didn't know what to do. Yeah. Like, it was fucking, well, obviously get the cart, but do you keep reversing? Do you run back over the leg?
Yes, yes, yes.
My brother, we were like still like sitting in the car. I swear to God, fucking picked the shit up and took his kid out.
Yeah.
And after he took the kid out, I go, How heavy is this thing? I'm strong. I'm stronger than my brother. Like,
did they try to put a golf club underneath it that you had just bought or something?
Yeah, they put a 9-under under it, and I started spinning it on my finger. Yeah, no, dude.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, they put my brother under it. I just got on top of it and stomped.
No, yeah, it was fucking wild. It was straight up that. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's a real, you know, adrenaline is a real thing.
It is.
To say.
It's a real word. Let's go to the next story that might have a theme. Boom, boom.
Okay.
Bam.
A 23-year-old man drowns.
And me.
While recreating the Titanic King of the World pose with his girlfriend on a Turkish pier after the couple slipped and fell into sea.
No. Oh my God. Why is this a theme, Noah?
Well, it's,
wait, he wasn't even on a boat. He was just on a dock and doing
it? They were
it?
On the pier. The couple had been drinking.
I bet there's been more people than one that have died from recreating that. It's such an iconic thing. I've probably tried to recreate it in my life a million times. Like, every time I'm on a boat, I do it.
I drowned doing the floating door one.
I was going to ask you guys, what is, like, favorite or least favorite couple pose?
Oh, that's great.
What
the
do
ones
you mean?
That people like, deserve to die recreating.
well,
by the way, rest in peace to that kid. That's so tragic, and I'm so sorry. And that girl probably has so much
trauma.
You know, trauma that she suffered, almost maybe
from
worse
pushing
than
pushing them is crazy.
I will say the worst. I don't like the caressing or the kissing of the pregnant baby belly by men, and I don't like when men are shirtless in pictures with their wives who are pregnant either. Like those moments really gross.
Where they
me
push
out.
Their stomach out as well, or just
no? I mean,
up.
If it's for a joke, that's funny. If they sometimes they're just like they all want like skin on skin, and so there's like these poses that really disgust me. But other than that, I love, and I love people's public displays of affection. I love any sweet like PDA. I don't care if you're penetrating each other in front of me at a ice cream parlor.
Just have your shirts on.
I just. As long as one of you is not pregnant and just like caressing your baby bump, I don't care and I support it. What about you guys?
I mean, they're pretty hacky, but the one with whenever a girl's looking at a camera and the guy's looking at her, I just feel like that relationship's doomed. And I just, I don't know.
It's called Myron.
That's what it's, oh, Myron?
Well, the other day I follow Myron on,
oh, is that an account?
A subreddit. It's called Myron when, like, admiring, like, oh, she's Myron him, or he's Myron her, M-I-R-I-N. And there's a subreddit called Myron where it's just, like, pictures of, like, catching people, like, just looking at the significant other, kind of just being like, I love you. Like, just, and I love, if I can ever find a picture, there's one picture that actually, and this is kind of stupid of me to talk about, but it's one of my most cherished pictures that I don't even have the other side of. There's a picture of me and my friend who killed himself in high school. He, we were at this like drama club thing and I was making him laugh pretty hard. And he was looking at me with like such like, she's so fun. Like just, he had this great smile and he was just like, had this amazing look on his face. And, you know, he killed himself in November and the yearbook came out, you know, in May. And so when the yearbook was put together, they kind of chose a picture that like made him look angelic, like to celebrate
like
him.
What and, caused it?
And they cut me out of it. Oh. So he's Myron at nothing, but I knew it was me because I had the original picture for so long and I used to hold it and cry and feel really stupid because I was like, what are you in seventh heaven? Why are you like trying to make a scene in your bedroom where you're like, my friend is dead? But that was a really important one to me. But
that's a different kind of Myron. I love that Myron. That's a great Myron.
Well, it's like, but anyway,
I don't
he
like
felt
a Myron.
A
I don't like a Myron that's staged. That's,
oh, those are gross. Yeah.
Yeah. A staged Myron where it's like the guy's right here and he's like this and the girl's looking at the camera like,
oh, gross.
It's not for me.
Chris and I did a roast for Tim's wedding last week. Like, we both were back. He was asked to give a speech, and then he was like, you know what? I'm going to get last year at Tim's wedding, because it was a redo, he was like, I gave, we did a bunch of, like, he did this whole speech, and it was so funny, but it was all, like, praising Tim and Emma and their reunion and everything. And it was, he goes, and this year, because you guys have had such a successful year with a baby, Tim's new job, Emma's promotions, I feel like you need to get taken down a notch. And so I'm going to do a little roast. Lucky for me, I just happen to be close personal friends with one of Tim's favorite roast comedians. But Anthony Jeselnik said he couldn't be here. So I brought my favorite roast comedian, Nikki Glaser, and he brings me up. And then we do this back and forth like roast thing. And there was a picture from it. There's only one picture from it. And he's Myron so hard. And it
See,
was,
that's
and
a great
I
Myron.
Just love it because he's looking at me like, she's the funniest, and I love her.
And
I
he'll
was,
be dead in a year.
And I
then.
Sent him a picture of it, and I was like, someone's Myron. Caught you, Myron.
Well,
he was like, I
remember
Myron.
Him, Myron, at Dancing with the Stars.
when you were on the balcony.
Oh, yeah.
And I just happened to like look back and I see Chris and he had sunglasses and he like pulled them down and he was like looking at you in the balcony.
Whoa,
like
that's
that.
Real cool, Myron.
Oh, that was, I will not disclude that being a sweet thing, but that was him. We often do this thing where he will try to get my attention by staring at, like, if, you know, he's in the audience.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He'll just look at me like really weird, like.
It was not
like,
a weird
wait for
look.
Me to, and hold it until I all of a sudden see it. And then I'm like laugh so hard because someone's looking at you like so weird. But yeah, he mires all the time. And so do I. That's why I love my reality shows, because I catch so many moments where I'm either, I could see how much I love someone or how much, like, I could just see, I'm not performative. I'm just like being me and it's like a natural moment, or I see my family appreciating each other or me. And it just feels so good to see people like not posing.
Yeah. Like a natural mire.
Yes. I heard the episode last night was really good, but I didn't watch it yet because I was just in bed crying to my sister about something. But I heard it was really,
had a lot
really
of besties.
Good. Noah, you saw it?
Had a lot what? Of besties. Yeah. It had the live podcast.
Oh, yeah. The live so podcast. Fun. You were in it, Noah. Nice.
Yeah. I was in it.
How did you like your appearance?
I really liked it, to be honest. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Oh,
there's
good.
No, there were no stupid faces featured.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So I'm grateful.
A lot of people wrote to me and said, okay, now this show's kicking. There's some stuff going on. Like there was an, I guess there's a conversation between me and Chris about having kids that was very
so
fraught.
Many good jokes. We were cracking
oh, really?
Up so much. Yeah.
Oh my God. If, yeah, I think I was, that was a conversation, man. That was like one of those scenes where after it, there was some like, there was a lot of, that conversation, there was a lot, there was aftershocks of that mm-hmm. for many, many days, weeks, probably still continuing of like, that was not a fun conversation. And like, it's just interesting to what, I said it before, but I'm watching myself on the show and I'm seeing like, I'm seeing my biting my fingernails things that I do when I'm nervous or when I'm like stuck in a moment and I can't get out of it. You got to get to the next segment.
Are we
ready to go to break and come back with Why Do I Care?
Sure.
Yes, let's do it. Back with
boom,
Why
boom,
Do I Care
boom.
Next.
Boom,
boom, boom.
Boom,
boom, boom. Boom, boom. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mm-hmm. All right, why do I care?
Wait, whatever happened to... Yeah.
I'll get you to say. Okay.
All right.
Turkey cares.
Why do I care?
Halsey.
Why do I care, Noah?
I know this story.
Accuses her label of holding her new single hostage over a fake viral moment on TikTok.
I want to release a new song. It's going to be about my baby. Please let me just sing really fast and whisper like a little baby. I've got new music that I want to come out and you won't let me put it out. It's all my label's fault, not the fact that I've, you know, just signed with a label that I probably shouldn't have, and I'm a baby.
Ironically enough, okay. Wait. That TikTok post went viral, so maybe we'll get that song out soon.
Maybe we will.
Wait, what happened to the...
She can't release the song because her label is not allowing her to release new music right now. For what reason do we know?
Unless they can fake a fake viral moment on TikTok to market the song.
Oh.
Everything is marketing. Oh. And they are doing this to basically every artist these days, she said.
Oh, God.
So unless she puts out a viral video regarding the song on TikTok, they don't want to release it.
Yeah, I think they want to do it, but... The irony is that this is now going
yes. viral. Hmm. Okay.
Well, very Elon Musk.
I like this. I do think that, so many songs now have to be TikTok dances or whatever to make it or have a moment. But honestly, that's kind of how people learn new music. I think there must be it must be hard to get new music played if you're not already famous and people are anticipating it, which Halsey is. But for new artists to like emerge, I think it used to be hard enough to getting your songs played on the radio, but you would listen to the radio and you would just hear what comes on. For me, new music, I don't hear new music unless I already know the artist and I'm anticipating it. Mm-hmm. Like, or someone has, there's a TikTok, like I know there's curators and there's people, but I think that a lot of people, I used to discover a lot of music by just being in public spaces and hearing it over just hearing it on the radio, or like now I feel like new music is so much harder to come by because we can always control what we're listening to, if that makes sense.
That's why I do on Spotify. I'll do, you know, Sturgill Simpson radio, and then it'll give me three or four different artists that I haven't heard before.
Oh my God.
And then I go, I think I just want Sturgill.
Well,
you know what I mean? Sometimes that will happen.
But I love what you do. With Spotify, good. I was listening to the Moon song yesterday. It was
Who's Moon?
Phoebe Bridgers. There was like some, I follow Phoebe Bridgers subreddit because I'm obsessed with her now. And there was a clip from a performance at Red Rocks. And there was this lyric that I just loved. And it was something about you're married and you're dying and I love you. And it was just like, just the idea of like her writing a song about a guy that's married, that she's in love. I was just like, what is this song? So I Googled the lyrics. It's the song called The Moon Song. And so I listened to it on Spotify, pulled it up. And then all of a sudden I just was, lost in my phone and other songs started playing. And I'm like, I like this song. whoa, that's a song I already know that I really like. How did they know? Is this my playlist? And it's like, mm-hmm. no, it was just the Moon Song Radio. If you like this song, we figured out other songs. Yes. Like, it's amazing how specific they can be. But for me to be open to new things is so fucking hard.
So hard.
Why is that? That's why I love when besties go, Nikki, based on what I know about you, you're gonna love this song. Just give it a listen. And I often screenshot those DMs to get back to them. But if you have a song that you're like, I know Nikki Glaser will love this, don't give me a whole list. Give me one song. I promise I'll give it a chance if you bug me enough. And I would like the recommendation. Noah gave me one. How long have you loved another while I'm dreaming of us together? She got the best of you.
Who's that?
Thought of you always knew. Tove Lo.
Who I learned about from you.
How long have you loved... Yeah, Tove Lo has this other song that she's like, uh-oh. It's about being a piece of shit. And she's like, I eat my dinner in the bathtub. Then I go to sex clubs watching freaky people getting it on. It kind of makes me nervous. If anything, I'm reckless. Yeah, I've been around and I see it all. Go home and eat some Twinkies. Throw up in the sink. Like, she talks about being bulimic. It's just like so... Tove Lo is great.
Yeah.
And that song is called, I forget, but check out Tove Lo, T-O-V-E-L-O.
I do think there's other people that will go, I don't like anything mainstream. I only try to find new artists.
And to that, we say, kid. Let's get to top one, bottom one. Our category this week is, in honor of my upcoming birthday celebration,
karaoke songs.
Ooh. Karaoke songs. Top karaoke one, bottom one. Now, I want to do this as your song that you would want to sing the most if you had to sing a song in front of your fans and family, and then the worst song that you could sing in front of your friends and family. And it has to be a song that you do know, though. Like, I think mm-hmm. the worst song would be one you don't know. This should be a song you know, but you just don't want to sing it.
Okay. Are we doing worst first or best?
We always start with worst first. And I'll start with mine, the worst one. I will pick a song that has the N-word throughout it because I would just be so nervous the whole time that I would accidentally say the N-word in avoiding saying the N-word. So that is one I do like to sing up, the song by Cardi B. It is one that I have karaoke before to great success, but I did have nerves the whole time that I was accidentally going to say the N-word in the places where she says it because I was trying so hard not to say it. And I think even if I accidentally slipped and said the N-word while I was performing it and people did film it, that I still... could be forgiven because my intention was not to say it. And I think that matters. So I want to live in a world where I can perform Up by Cardi B on karaoke. And if I accidentally say the N-word because I'm intentionally trying not to say it, I won't get canceled because my intention is never to ever say that word. And sometimes things go wrong. But that's my biggest fear. But the worst song to karaoke by far is one that was given to me by Henry Phillips, one of my favorite comedians. And he used to have an anecdote of saying, you know what I always think the worst, he talks like this. He's like, I think the worst karaoke song to possibly do, and he was always talking about like he wanted to put it on and actually do it, is I Hawaii, 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 Hawaii,
Hawaii. What a song about conditioner.
Yeah, but that song
yeah.
would be so funny and probably one of the worst that you could karaoke.
The only reason why I think that would actually... I think because you don't have to know the lyrics, I think people would really start doing it.
Yeah, it's not really the
it.
Worst. It's just one of the funniest ones that a person could
yeah,
go up and
no,
do.
No, it's a very funny song.
The Return
song.
To Innocence. Oh,
it's so funny.
Or the Sting song that has the Indian guy chanting in it would be hard for a white person.
I wear my sunglasses.
Not that one, but know, that's I not know. Sing. But what's your hang your head?
That's not Sting?
That's not Sting. I wear my sunglasses at night.
Who was that, Phil Collins?
It's definitely not Sting.
It's the Police.
No, it's not. $1,000 says it's not the Police.
I don't want to do that.
It really is not. I would bet everything I have on it. But anyway, what's your least favorite
Corey Hart
song? Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he did an original.
Yeah. He was arrested by the Police.
He was.
At one point.
My least favorite would be like something like something Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. But that was originally by Dolly Parton, which was originally by the Police. But
Corey Hart.
Yeah, something like that where it's just like so emotional and it's like, what are we doing? Like, we're at a party. You're kind of... You're
and
having
you can't
your own...
hit the notes,
no,
too.
Not even close.
Not you, but like anyone. Like yes. those ones that are like, oh, girl, what are you trying... Because if someone can do that song, bring it on.
True.
But I can't. So don't
try. Yes, a very emotional song that is more of a song that you should be listening alone in your room and not sharing with other people.
On Spotify Radio. So you find out other ones.
Yeah.
That
Noah, least favorite song to hear in karaoke has to be Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Oh, you're doing to hear. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
what about to do?
It's too long. It's like you said, Andrew, like there's emotional, like I hate the part when, especially like if guys are singing it, like where they go, I mama, right?
Ooh.
And like, you know,
you're like, God, just go talk to a therapist instead of singing the song.
Yeah. The ideal karaoke song should be under 3 minutes.
It really should.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's why it's so important if it is over 3 minutes that is either your birthday and your people allow it or you bring someone else up to share in it with you.
Okay, so it's
and you make a dance about it and you make it like kind of fun.
Yeah.
Make it fun, make it funny. Also, a great way to spice up a karaoke song if it's too much is to have someone come up and talk over it like in between the interludes and like talk and do like a comedy bit with you.
Gotcha.
Which is like I like you doing that with Taylor Swift songs when I'm like doing something and you're like just rapping in the background or something. It'll make it fun and worth it if you don't enjoy the music itself. Okay, best karaoke song. What's your number? What are you going to sing?
Are you going?
You can go.
I usually, my go-to, I have two go-tos. I do Stay by Lisa Loeb.
Oh my God, I was going to say that too.
Really?
We got to do that one together.
I mean, I love that song. I could do that without
the
lyrics.
Did I ever tell you about literally the most embarrassing moment of my life was that song at a karaoke night?
Why?
It was a karaoke gong show. Which I didn't know.
You got gonged right away?
Not right away. Oh. I go.
That might be worse to get it at the very end.
No.
In the middle?
It was a comedy show that I did at this place, downtown Los Angeles, such a hipster crowd.
Live band?
Regular karaoke, but it's like there's no stage. You kind of like perform in the middle of the dance floor and everyone is around you and it's like so fun. But it's a gong show. I didn't even know that. I pick Lisa Loeb. I go, and you say gong.
Oh my God, Gone Girl.
That's not even right away. That's before I even, like, and I kept singing and they go, no, and they take the mic from
me.
They
just didn't like it.
Because I was
song.
Like, that's clearly a joke because I didn't do anything wrong. And they were just gonging me because it wasn't a cool song. This was before it was, like, it was totally, because it was like, this song is too
teeny
bop. Fuck
you.
All right, we gotta go. Okay, so my.
And Shoot by Salt and Pepper. Fantastic.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's a fun one.
I'm going to go with Criminal by Fiona Apple. And I know that is an emotional song, but it's in my range. My mom and I both love to sing that song. That's the one she never wants to share with me and just does on her own. And then I can't do it. But it's really fun and it's very emotional.
I got a bad. That one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, and people know it. I like a song that other people know enough that they can sing along. I don't want to alienate anyone. But, you know, I would also like to get into some Britney Spears because it's just fun to, like, sing like her and, like, be able, if you're not going to sing well, you might
What's the best BS song?
I know that not a lot of people know this, but I would like to do, I used to think I had the answers to everything. I'm not a girl. Like, that would be my favorite.
It's a good birthday song, too. That.
Okay, well, then I'll do it. Thank you. Noah, what's your number
Okay,
one?
So I just want to say I cannot sing karaoke. I would never have the balls to do it. But the song that popped in...
What's your biggest fear?
Well, it's not fear. I just sound terrible. So...
You just don't want to. Okay.
Okay, Pony by Genuine.
Hell yeah. Great choice.
Because that would be... I would enjoy hearing anybody singing it. One, you know the song as soon as like the first like bow bow bow, like the first thing that comes out.
Bow. It sounds like a guy burping, a sexual burp,
like a robot.
And it's such like a raunchy song, and it's I don't know. It would just be funny, and I would enjoy it.
A robot with acid reflux.
That's a good song. It reminds me of like R. Kelly. My body is telling me no. It's the same kind of vibe. It's very sexual.
I did a joke about that song. I said that I never want to get married because I don't want to do the father-daughter dance at the reception because everyone watches you dance, slow dance with your dad. Yeah. It's so awkward. And then we, you know, and our song is Genuine's Pony. And I just, that's for us. And then you're grinding with your dad. And that's like a thing you guys do together and you don't want to share with other people. So that was my joke. All right, guys, let's go to final thought. So
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I had the worst karaoke moment ever with Shoop. So, like, a week before, I did Shoop at, like, a bar in Brooklyn. And
you killed.
Killed. Then I was in New Orleans with my little brother. We were drunk. And I was like, and we were in line at karaoke. Like, we went to this bar. It's called
Because you were like, Cat's I Meow. Practiced this. Yes, I just had this try.
I'm ready to go.
Oh,
and I'm at Cat's Meow. And I pay the guy that's doing the karaoke
to bump
like
you
50
up.
Bucks to bump me up to show my brother that I'm a performer now.
Oh, essentially. That's so cute.
And the guy goes up before me and he destroys, I forget what song he did, but he brought the, like, got carried off the stage.
And then you go up with your...
And no one listens. It was just... And it's such a funny song to sing to nobody. Ooh. Anyhow, but
and your
yeah.
brother just kind of supporting you, kind of wanting to maybe
yeah.
leave you
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hoping, like, you get stabbed again.
I hope I got stabbed again with no vest.
Okay, so let's just quickly talk about the worst.
Yeah.
The weirdest interaction we had this weekend.
Oh, God. Talk about a bomb.
I don't want to be too specific.
Yeah.
But there was...
I don't know how to do
there
it.
There were
without.
Some people that came to the show. I'm going to say they came to a show, even though that's not the whole story. But they came to a show, and afterwards, the meet and greet, they took pictures. It was nice. They said lovely things. Also had
they're
me do
the show
like
before,
a little
too.
Well, yeah, I was trying not to be specific about who they were. So, but
yeah,
yes,
but that
they came
been
to
anyone.
Both shows.
It could have been anyone.
They came to two shows, and which is already suspect because you go, well, I don't. You didn't need to do that, but thank you. Two meet and greets, and then they took a picture, and then they wanted to do a video, like, where he was like, well, you just do a video where you say, good job, Blake.
Yeah, but not specific.
No, to him. Like,
no, I know.
Say it to the camera and be like, I'm standing with Blake, and he wants me to say to the camera, good job, Blake, you can do it. Like, an encouraging video that he can watch when he needs encouragement. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a fun idea, whatever. Then his buddy came over and did the same thing. And he was like, you can just say anything. And I was like, you're lovable and you deserve love. And I just gave him, like, a, you know, positive affirmations. Then it was the end. They were the last in line. And they're walking away. And we see these two, they're two older men. And they're two kind of, like, misfits. Let me just say, one looked like a bouncer to, like, a Mormon church.
Okay.
And then the other one looked
like his
special friend.
Like, I feel like he plays the organ at the church.
Yes. Maybe. Okay.
Long,
both,
like,
both
curly
nice
hair.
Looking guys, but, like, different looks, right? Like, kind of mismatch where you go, how are they friends? But it's none of my business. Then they're walking away, and they have, by the way, they took this with cameras, not with phones. They're walking away, and
but
sometimes
we're not gonna
you
get
see
specific.
Fans and you go, they don't like my comedy. They just want to get a picture with me. Like, there's something else here. It's like these guys just reminded me of guys that, like, just like meeting celebrities and, like, collecting
yes.
pictures, which is fine. Like, teach their own. I don't give a fuck. But the weird part was they were leaving, and there was this old woman who was probably
old,
91.
Like, yeah, like, old, like,
she looked like she was a witch from Macbeth.
Yeah.
Like, had, like two teeth. Bent over, very old. And by the way, it's 1 o'clock at night at this point. The show was at 11. This is 1 o'clock at night at this point. This woman has been there all night long, probably. And she's with these two guys, and we don't know how they're connected, but you see her go, can I meet her? And they go, no. No, we're leaving.
What's so ridiculous?
And I'm standing there, like, we're just standing. I mean, this is the end of the line. And I hear them, like, shuffle her off, and they go, no, no, it's enough, no. And I go, no, I'll take a picture with you. She goes, can I have one? I'd love it. And I go, I would love to. Oh, my God. And so I hold her real tight and, like, give her a cute little hug. And I swear to you, I would bet anything on it. He did not take the picture.
He did not take
the picture. Because I saw him take the picture, and I could just tell it was, like, what you would do if you were miming taking a picture.
Oh, my God.
And then they walked off with this woman who I couldn't tell if it was their mom, if it was, like, some woman that they had taken advantage of to get them into the... like, it just went from being, like, this cute, kind of awkward interaction.
It was the weirdest thing ever.
Andrew and I could not shake it. It was so disturbing because they yelled at this woman that she couldn't have a picture, even though I'm standing there, and she's in line with them. Like, there isn't, like, you know... everyone has to have a wristband. It's like, whoever is there gets one. There's no checking. Like, once you're there to get it. And she had a wristband to even get back there.
Dude, Yeah, I don't. And so, I don't know.
I don't know how to feel. We went backstage. I was kind of in a rage because I was like, "Man, what's her age?" Andrew was like, "She has to be like 100." I'm like, "Probably somewhere in her 90s." That poor woman. I feel like we just witnessed a crime. See, because that man was mean to her, and then they shuffled off. I wish that woman the best, but I don't have a good feeling, and I just feel off. I rhymed off with off.
Man, when I saw that lady, I was like, man, she's going to fall. I think she lives inside the theater walls. She's so old, she died before vampires were invented.
Turning into limericks.
Huh?
It sounds like a limerick. Keep going.
No doubt. Before limerick. You could suck my big, fat little finger because that rhymes with dick. I don't even know anymore because, look, I want to find these people and I want to find out if they live in her basement and they take her money and they fucking don't look at her funny. Man, you got to give her food and you got to give her water. She's going to die soon.
The guy went from being so nice to me to being so mean to her.
I think everything's great.
And that's what disturbed me.
We'll never be late. I freaking want to masturbate.
And if you are listening to this and you see this, sir, will you please explain what the connection to that woman was and why you were so mean to her? And
please
tell me that you took a picture and send the picture to me to confirm that that woman had her picture taken. Please do not take advantage of her.
And
erase my video to you because you're not a good person. If my biggest fears are true.
So silly.
We got to go. Have a great day. We'll be here all week long. Don't be cut and Jack Reacher.
A woman is old. Can I take the hanger off now?
Yeah, no one was even making you put it on.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox